Welcome to the latest episode of Connect Ed Tech,
a podcast where the E and D may or may not stand for Elizabeth
and Daryl.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to season one, episode four of Connect Ed Tech. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Daryl.
And it is the month of May.
The month of May.
Finally, teachers.
It's graduation season.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Is that why you're wearing this?
That is why I'm wearing this.
Graduating high school now, are you?
I'm graduating grad school.
Actually,
I graduated a year and a half ago. This is what it's like, we're having long hair. But anyways.
You know you don't have to keep wearing it.
You pay for it. You pay big bucks just to have one of these. Mm-hmm, and you only wear it once.
It's true.
So here, I'm repurposing it. I've actually repurposed it a couple of times. Hogwarts.
Oh, yeah.
Isaac Newton.
Oh,
yeah. So there are ways you can wear this.
That's very clever. Yeah. I wish I would have kept
Halloween
mine.
Costumes.
Yeah.
You should have kept yours.
I should have, but I didn't. So there's that.
That's a different story.
It's a totally different story for a different day. But look at Lily the Llama. Isn't she so cute?
Yes, look. She graduated too, right?
Yeah, she did from Llama Preschool.
Llama Preschool. That's a thing.
Top of her class.
Top of her class because she was the only one in her class.
No, there were other llamas in Lily the Llama's preschool. She was the valedictorian of about four llamas.
Wow, valedictorian, top 25%.
That was pretty quick.
Was that right?
That was pretty quick.
One per quarter? I don't know.
For sure.
Alrighty.
Yeah, but graduation is always a fun time of year, and I always think about my graduation from high school, and then also my undergrad and my grad. Yeah, I love 10 years ago for all of it. Graduated from all of them at the same time 10 years ago. And I think about the feelings I felt. Do you remember your graduation from high school?
From high school?
Yeah.
I do remember.
It wasn't that long ago for you.
No, it was 2004.
You don't have to give dates. 2004. Because I'm not going to give mine. But what do you remember the most about graduating?
Oh, man. What I remember the most, just that proud feeling, you know, what you accomplished and the people who got me there, my parents, my family, my friends, my teachers. Can't forget to thank the teachers.
Can't forget to thank the educators, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Did you know what you wanted to do? That's my question. Because we're both in education now. Did you know that's what you wanted to
do? No. What's important message is don't really find your passion. You develop your passion. Because I didn't know I wanted to become an educator until like my fifth year in college, actually. I took a victory lap.
Yeah, you're on the tenure plan.
There you go. So I got my degree in biology, and I said, you know what, let me try teaching out, and loved it ever since.
That's awesome.
Can't leave education. What about you?
I was a latecomer to education as well. When I graduated from high school, I initially thought I would go into broadcast communications, and that sort of,
using it now.
Kind of using it now. That sort of didn't pan out as much. I ended up getting married, had my daughter, and then when she was a little older in elementary school, I went back to college and got my English degree. Mm-hmm. Substitute taught for a while, and I was like, oh, I really like these kiddos.
You do.
I did.
And we're in it for the kiddos.
Yeah, we're in it for the students. That's what it's all about. So I think about the fact that there's so much pressure on these kids to know what they want to do and what they want to be, and some of them do and some of them don't. So if I could say, you know, anything to them. If you don't know quite yet, you will. And
you
I think
will.
It goes back to that passion thing you talked about.
Okay, if you can't find, if you don't know what you want to do.
Yeah. So we got a really cool guest today.
We do. Mm-hmm. What's all this fun stuff over here? I think our pop vinyls have transformed into something else.
Their eyes are looking a little buggy to me. I don't know what that's all about. So, but our guest today is Amy Mayer. She's a really good friend of ours.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she's from Fry Technology. That's her own company, and she works for Google too, going around all over the country. It seems like we always get guests who go around all over the country.
You know, just try to have a variety.
Yeah, they speak in a lot of different places, do a lot of training on Google, and Amy Mayer is one of them. She's a great friend, an excellent Google trainer, and we are all Googled out over Google today.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, with our googly eyes on our Funko Pops and our glasses. Yeah, they're super cool. It looks great with the hat.
There you
the
go.
Cap, well, the hat, the cap.
This is how I felt during graduation. I was just, wow, what's going on? Hey.
Yeah, it's super bug-eyed. But anyway, we're super happy about having her, and we'll be talking to her in just a few minutes on all things Google. And she's also going to enlighten us a little bit about what Google can offer our graduates to help them for post-secondary careers and college experiences.
Exciting. Can't wait.
Yeah. So right after this commercial, we'll be right back with Amy Mayer from Friday Technology.
Stick around.
You can find all things related to the Connect Ed Tech podcast by visiting our website, flippinggoodtech.com. And while you're there, make sure to click on all the tabs for a closer look at who we are and why we're passionate about everything we do.
And most importantly, be sure to follow us at Flippin' Good Tech on all social media platforms and subscribe to our YouTube channel for quick access to all the latest podcast episodes, Connect Ed Tech promos, and Flipped in 5 Tech Tips.
Hey guys, we're back.
And we are googly-eyed for Google.
Googly-eyed for Google, that's right. We have with us in the studio today, well, virtually with us in the studio today, my very good friend, our very good friend, Amy Mayer from Fry Technology. And we're just gonna get right to it and let her introduce herself and tell us what she does and what Fry Technology is all about. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you guys today?
We are fantastic, you look beautiful.
Thank you. So do you guys, especially around the eyes.
Thank you. I guess you could take them off now. Should we leave them off?
I don't know. I kind of like
them. I don't know. I'm going to take mine off.
That's distracting for Amy.
Yeah, maybe a distraction. We're too cool for school.
If I want to hide, I'll put it back on.
Too cool for school. Okay. All right. So, Amy, tell us a little bit about you and your background in education and a little bit about Fry Technology.
Okay, cool. Well, I was a high school English teacher at the beginning of my career, and I wasn't very good at it. So I figured I had to find a better way, you know, to be a good teacher. And technology just happened to be part of that journey for me. So when I figured out I could get kids using technology and I could have them creating things in order to learn, I became a really great teacher. And I wasn't the only one who thought so. Actually, other people agreed with me. So that's how you know it might possibly be true. So I moved from there into being an ELA consultant, actually, for Region 4, which is your region, I think.
It is.
And so I worked with English teachers, and it wasn't a good fit for me, that environment. I really liked working in technology. So I went back to a school district, and I worked in the technology department. And I actually worked on servers and stuff like that. I mean, it was crazy, you know, like really techie stuff. I can tell you didn't know that, Elizabeth.
You saw that face?
Yes.
I had no idea. I knew we shared the English background, but I didn't have any idea that you did that tech part. And you were asking us questions about our setup here. Come on.
Well, I did really, you know, like I even managed servers and stuff like that. I ran the district's gradebook program for a while, and I, you know, I learned a lot, and it wasn't that I didn't like the work, but I knew that my real passion was working with kids and teachers and technology. And I actually, I had a wonderful, wonderful boss and mentor at the time. And I went to him and I said, Dr. Barrett, I need to be back in a school environment. This is just not for me. And he said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to do instructional technology. I want to work with teachers and I want to help teachers learn to integrate technology into their classrooms. And he said, okay, that's what you do now.
Wow.
And literally that day, he told me, go tell Robert, the guy who worked for me at the time, that he's in charge of gradebook and all the server stuff now, and you now do instructional technology. So that was the beginning of my journey. And of course, I mean, it's truly my personal passion. And I had a lot of jobs since then, but eventually ended up doing Bride Technology, which let me only do the parts of the instructional technology job that I really enjoy the most and where I'm the most helpful. So that's the dream, you know, to find that job where you do the thing that you're naturally the most inclined to do. And I feel very fortunate that that happened for me through Fry Technology.
I love that. You have a pretty big team at Fry Technology now. It didn't start out like that.
It didn't. I started out by myself. I think the first time I ever did a paid job was probably about 20 years ago. And now I have, let's see, we have a new full-time person who starts on Monday. I'm really excited. She's been a very dear friend of mine for years and years, and she is an expert in online learning. And she's been working for Stetson and Associates, which is the worldwide leader in inclusion in special ed. and she's been in charge of their online programs, and she is going to now be in charge of our online programs. So we're really, really excited about that. But we also have now a team of five people. So, and that's people who work on this every day. And then we have about 30 people who work with us, you know, on a contract basis. So like during the summer when they're off, or they may take days and go to a school, especially if somebody calls for their particular specialty, we'll get in touch with them and say, this school wants exactly what you particularly know how to do. We got to get you out there. So it's all is really, most of what we do is really fun. There's a whole bunch of stuff we do that's not fun, but most of it is really fun.
It's awesome. Tell me about how you got your name. How did you pick Fried Technology? What's that all about?
Well, when I was a teacher, I taught most of the years I taught juniors and seniors, and my husband and I would always joke that they came into the classroom at the beginning of the school year with the dead eye by the time they were that age, you know, like they'd been beaten down by school, and a lot of them actually particularly by English. By that time, you know, somebody along the way had told them or insinuated to them that they weren't good at writing, or they felt that they weren't, where they didn't feel like they were strong readers. And you know, kids came in and they were just really closed off when coming into the classroom for English. And so I would always tell my kids at the beginning of the year, don't worry, this is not regular English class. This English class is Fried. And there'd be a little bit of a Twitter, you know, and I'd say, you know, like you can go to the fair and you can even get like broccoli fried and it's pretty good, right? They would all be like, yeah, I guess so. And I'm like, well, that's what this class is. I mean, it's English class, but it's actually Fried. And, you know, sometimes I would get a laugh, and then later on, you know, I'd usually get some references to it or whatever, but I had a blog back then called Fried English. And in the very early days of blogging, I was blogging about teaching English, mostly with technology. And so then later on, when I moved on into the technology world, I thought, well, Fried Technology, that's pretty funny. You know, like, I like that. That means it's broken. And if it is, you know, we can fix it, broken in this certain way. And I just thought it had some cool double entendres there. And then several years after I switched my blog name to Fried Technology, a friend of mine said, Amy, that's so cool how Fried Technology has ed tech in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I had to admit to her, like, holy part moly. Of me wanted to say I had always known that. I picked it on purpose.
I bet you did. Yeah.
But I did not. I even admitted to her in the moment that I did not know that until she told me that moment. And that's Pam Cadwalder. She's retired now, but that is the person who revealed to me that EdTech is in the middle of Fried Technology.
That's so funny, because that's probably one of the first things people like make a connection to, especially people who are in educational technology.
Right. I mean, yeah. It's literally my license plate is EdTech. Yeah. So
I love that. Yeah. I've seen it.
Such clever branding, and mm-hmm. everything you all put out is so creative. Your website's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So much of that is Brooke Lowry. She is a genius with graphics, and mm-hmm. she just makes everything look so fun and inviting. And I think when we work with business people, they're kind of roll their eyes at us at first and don't take us seriously, because we do work with a lot of business people. And I think it takes them a while to get to know us and figure out that we're real serious about what we do, mm-hmm. but we want to make things look fun and inviting. And that's, I think teachers like that and value that. And we're not going to stop doing that just because they want everything in black and white.
Right.
I love it.
Thanks.
So how did you get connected with Google?
So I really fell in love with Google when also that same boss I was telling you guys about, Dr. Barrett, he came into my office one day, and he was always really excited about EdTech. He was a true technology person in all kinds of different ways. He did boxes and wires. He was a programmer. He loved digging through data, but he also loved classroom technology. And Dr. Barrett came in and told me, I'll never forget it. I literally remember the moment that I learned about Google. He came into my office and he said, Amy, there's this new thing and multiple people can type at once and you can see what everybody else is typing. And it was a jaw-dropping moment. And I had heard a lot of software vendors had told us, you know, our software does this awesome thing or whatever. And it just had never panned out to be quite true. So I'm like, show me, you know. And he said, okay, I've got this document pulled up. And he shared it with me, and I could see him typing and he could see me typing, and we were working real time. And it was actually really easy for both of us to get in there. And I didn't know what Google was other than a document, you know, at that moment. That was the first moment that I understood it. But that was such a powerful thing that I just had this kind of glimmer. I mean, it was such an exciting feeling that even though it's probably been over 10 years now, I still remember that moment of understanding what could be possible in education if we could literally work together at the same time, because I'd never seen anything that did that before. So I got really interested in it, obviously, and like started digging into it and all that. And eventually I got invited to attend an event at the Google office in Austin. And I was invited to share the story of my school district, which at the time was Conroe ISD. And I was extremely nervous. I was there by myself. I mean, I did public speaking all the time, but I didn't know any of these people. I was in the Google office, which I had so much respect for what they had created from a software perspective that, you know, it had inspired that awe in me. And I got up and I spoke, and it really went well. It was one of those times when, you know, when you do it and you're really connecting with people and you can feel that, and you know, they're laughing with you, and you just feel this awesome connection. So that happened, and thank God the right people were in the room that day, because I think they learned my name and I learned their names that day. And because that one speech went so well, we ended up staying in touch. And Kevin Hodges, who now is a very close business associate of mine and also a really close friend of mine, he started calling me and saying, I've got this really difficult school district, and you know, I don't feel like I'm getting through to them with the message that I want to. Can you go with me to visit this district? One of those first districts we visited was Dallas ISD very early. And they are now fully converting to Google right now today. And that was many years ago. But I got to go and talk to people who were in education with him, because Kevin, you know, allowed me to come along with him and have these talks with people. And he also, Kevin is such a humble person, and he has so much respect for educators that he did me the honor of sitting back and listening, and he did not control the conversation. He allowed me to do that. And I think that we had such a good rapport with each other, and he learned about Google from my perspective as an educator, and I learned so much from his perspective as a business person, that it just kind of grew naturally. You know, he called one year right before the start of school, and he wanted all of us to go to Chicago. He wanted 8 people to go to Chicago right before school started and do a conference for CPS, Chicago Public Schools. And I wanted to do it so bad, and I couldn't do it, and neither could anyone else, because we didn't do this full time. We had to be at our own school districts working with our own teachers. And that's when I started thinking, you know, this partnership with Google could really do something. And I started trying to pursue a part-time position. I was really lucky to get an opportunity through working with Dr. Steve Johnson in Huntsville ISD, where he said, there's too much Amy for Huntsville ISD, you know, like go out and spread this elsewhere, and don't say Google again this month and in this school district, but you can say it anywhere else you want. And so he let me just go to every conference that happened, you know, just be everywhere that Kevin wanted me to be. As long as I was there on the days they needed me in Huntsville, then he just let me do it. So again, another great mentor in my career who didn't hold me back, you know, who wanted me to be able to do this for other people, what was happening in the district. And eventually, many years later, I finally got the confidence to do it full time, and it was absolutely terrifying. And thank God, though, that things came together in a way that I was able to finally do it full time, because I couldn't say yes to all the opportunities that were out there. And now that's what we do. We try to never say no to a district that feels like they need us. We try to find a way. That's a really long answer. Sorry about that.
No, it was really good.
We're done
now. Well, I'm sorry. We're out of time.
No, but you had mentioned you were attracted to Google when you were able to collaborate with another person. Because now I went back, like 4 or 5 years ago, it was for me, I was sitting on a Google document trying to figure out, how do you save this thing? How do you save this document? I was like, download, make a copy. But then someone told me, it saves on its own. Mm-hmm. And that's when, for me, that's
life-changing.
It was a life-changing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we had all lost 10 million Word documents by that point in time, because the computer shut down or lights went out or whatever. And so, yeah, that was another miracle.
Yeah, trying to collaborate with a group of people at your campus or in your office was difficult.
Yes.
With other programs. Yeah. Because right. you had to save, and then you had to share that copy, and then they had to save it and then share it back with you, like email it back or whatever, put it in a right. common drive. So Google has really opened up a whole new world for educators. And we love it in our school district. We're over here in the Humble School District. And we are avid Google users. And you've been out to our district before and supported our teachers, and they love you here, as we do.
Too.
Oh, we do. If you could pick one G Suite tool that's like your go-to, and you're like, if I didn't have this one G Suite tool, which one would it be?
All the teachers who I've worked with in Humble ISD already know what I'm going to say right now, I guarantee you, because it's Slides. No question about it. I love that you can do so many different things with Slides, and I love the idea of a slide not being in a presentation that people are looking at on a screen, but being in front of them and them interacting with it. And we use that idea constantly in our work. In fact, we very rarely make any presentations now that are not meant to be manipulated by the user. So I think that's a real revolution in presenting content, that people are going to be interacting with the content and not just looking at it and listening to it. And it's a great model for teachers. And that's another thing I love about it, because teachers come to sessions with us and they say, you know, I don't know what it would look like in my classroom when I integrate technology. And now we can say it would look just like this, exactly like what we're doing right now. And so then they have a model for, okay, I can do this with my kids, and I'm going to do what Amy did, and my kids are going to do what I did, and I know what that looks like. I know what that interaction is. I know that she pulled this up because I was working on it through Google Classroom, and she could see me and what I was doing and help me while I was working. And so to be able to model that is a whole other bunch of information that people are getting that they're not conscious of or aware of happening. They don't have to think about it and concentrate on it and try to remember it. It's an experience. And that's the kind of thing that sticks with people later. And I think it's something that we do that makes us different from a lot of other companies that provide professional development, because there's about 12 Google partner companies in the United States. And I don't think anyone else sees PD the way that we do. And I think that's one of the critical differences in how we operate.
Google Slides is my favorite too.
Is it?
You can do so much with it. The inserting the videos straight from YouTube alone is a game changer. But now you didn't know that?
No, I knew that, but then you had me, because didn't they release, we could insert audio
insert
now?
Audio, audio, but not insert to everyone audio? Yet. So we need to know. How's that yes. rollout going? Because different people get it at different times, right?
Yeah, it's been so weird for us. So, you know, we have a lot of different accounts in our domain, and we have two domains. We have a training domain and our Fried Technology domain. And some of us have it and some of us don't have it. And we have rapid release turned on everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I'd say if you want to make something right now, look in your Gmail account. Gmail usually gets it first. They don't have all the guarantees for nothing breaking in your Gmail account that we have through our education accounts. So you may already have it in your Gmail account, and you can just open up a presentation. You can go to slides.new. And then click on insert. And if you have it, you'll see audio right there. And here's another exciting thing. So we have a partnership with Screencastify, an official partnership now. And we've actually really become close with Neff, who is their, I mean, their everything. She does everything that we care about as educators. She's not a programmer, but she does all of the messaging to those programmers and is in the same room with them, literally like, hey, can we make it do this? And so we got to have lunch with her about a week ago. She was here in spring, and we explained to her, you know, this new thing that had come out, audio and slides. And we're like, please, please, please make Screencastify be able to export an audio file to our Google Drive. That's what we want.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be like,
oh gosh,
that would be amazing.
Make
yes.
it happen, make it happen.
I know, right? That's what we were telling her. So she said, I don't know, I'll go back and ask. Well, so far, all the conversations we've had like that, they're happening. So I really feel like it's gonna happen. Shout out to WeVideo. They do have the capability to record an audio track, and you can edit an audio track inside WeVideo. But of course, we want Screencastify because we want it for teachers who are they may not be super confident with technology, but they're dipping their toe in the water, and we want it to be as easy as it can possibly be. And that's what they're all about at Screencastify.
I watched one of your webinars a couple of weeks ago, and you had done a little thing about Jamboard.
Yes.
Oh, and it's like, because whenever I do sessions, I tell teachers about auto draw and quick draw, and I didn't know that feature is on Jamboard. So can you talk to us a little bit more about Jamboard and the potential that it has in classrooms?
Yes, and I'm going to pull over my Chromebook while we do this, because there's one little aspect of it. I actually made a video, and I haven't put it out on YouTube yet, but I want to. So when people go to Jamboard and they're just going to jamboard.google.com, which of course is fine, and that's a great way to get to Jamboard, they're not actually, though, seeing all of the features that Jamboard has to offer, which are the ones that you and I are talking about that are so exciting. So I'm going to open up this Chromebook real quick and just show you what I'm talking about and where you can get this from, because if you have a Chromebook, you can get this today right now, and that's pretty cool too. If your Chromebook is managed by your school district, this might not work because your school district actually has to push out these apps.
Okay.
So that might be a little bit of a barrier, but so here's one way to get to Jamboard. One way is you can just type in jamboard.google.com, but hopefully you guys will be able to see this Chromebook here. So the other way to get to Jamboard is through the Google Play Store. So if you have an Android phone, then you know about the Google Play Store because it's where you go and get all of your apps. So if you can get the Jamboard app, this is it, through the Google Play Store, this is the one that does the really cool stuff. So when I open it up as an app, it has completely different functionality. Oh, I know where everybody can get it. Everybody who has an Android phone, you can get this app on your phone, and you can try this today. So the cool thing that it does, this Jamboard tool that teachers are gonna go crazy for, is that it lets you use auto draw right within Jamboard. So this is a collaborative whiteboard space, and it's weird because it's also a hardware product. So you can buy a product that's called a Jamboard, but that's not what we're talking about. So right up here, I have a pen, you know, so of course I can do things like write on the board as you would expect. But I also have the ability through this app to choose auto draw. And this is where you get this cool feature where I'm gonna try to draw a tree. And then it's gonna let me actually select a tree from the options. It looks more like broccoli, but you know.
The reason why Daryl is so excited about this is because he cannot draw.
I can't.
You can now, Daryl.
I can now.
You and every kindergartner can now draw really, really well. Another thing that it lets you do is use auto draw for text. So I just wrote my name there, and it just transformed it into
It's an Amy
text.
Tree.
It's an Amy tree. There we go. It has some other really cool features, but those are the two that I think like people are just going to go crazy for that. And I love this for teaching writing because we have two little girls in our life, and one of them is in kindergarten this year. Her name's Emma. And so she comes over. We have an 85-inch interactive whiteboard in our office, and she writes her name on that interactive whiteboard. And if she does it correctly, then it transforms into text. She also has to do it at a certain speed for it to transform. And she has tried it about 20 billion times now. So watching her be willing to do that over and over and over again until she gets it right, I'm like, every little kid needs Jamboard on a Chromebook. So when they're learning to write, they can have this opportunity because she just absolutely loves it. It just never has gotten old to her.
On a side note, is that a Pixelbook you're using?
Yes, it is. It's a Pixelbook, and it is a beautiful thing.
Are they making those anymore?
They're not, but that actually has made them cheaper, and it's still the best, you know, top-of-the-line Chromebook you can buy. And here's the other thing that I love about it, and I actually train with it now, so all my friends at Google got onto me for years because I wouldn't train with a Chromebook. But the reason why I wouldn't is because I didn't have my magnifying glass.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you know who taught me this? Was one of your students. I was at your conference last summer. We were at lunch, and one of your brilliant students was there attending the conference. Is that who it is?
It's Jonathan Shackle.
Yeah, it was probably Jonathan.
So Jonathan asked me, Miss Mayer, very politely, Miss Mayer, why aren't you training with a Chromebook today? So, well, I'd really like to, but I can't magnify. And he said, why not? I said, because it doesn't do that. And he said, yes, it does. And he pulled out his little Chromebook, pulled out his little stylus and showed me how it magnified, and I went home and bought a Chromebook with a pen that day.
That's wow. Amazing.
I need to tell him that.
Wow. So thanks, Jonathan, for that. Yeah.
Shout out to Jonathan.
So Adam and Jonathan are great friends. So Adam's our intern here. So he's texting right now as we speak.
Good. So you'll have to tell him. Life changer right there. I did not know that until he showed me. I knew that there were Chromebooks with pens, but I didn't know they magnified. So, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about, we're talking about a lot of the cool features of Google and G Suite. And earlier in the show, at the introduction, we're talking about graduation because we are in May. So we have a lot of students who are getting ready to graduate and move on to bigger and better things. And we know that Google has a lot of resources that are equipping students, but some of our teachers and educators, they may not know about some of these cool resources that are free that Google has already done, curriculum resources and things like that. So can you tell us a little bit about what's available to educators?
Yes, sure. And the most exciting one, and that was a perfect lead-in, so thank you for that. The most exciting one is Applied Digital Skills. It grows and changes every day, but the purpose of Applied Digital Skills is the realization that we all use software every day in our lives now, in our work lives, in our personal lives, and it's growing in importance every day to know how to effectively use that software. So what Applied Digital Skills is a program that teaches us how to use software in all those different scenarios that we have in our real lives. So for example, you need to be able to make a spreadsheet to make a budget for yourself. It's a perfect tool for that. Well, you can go into Applied Digital Skills totally for free with or without a teacher, and you can complete that lesson and learn how to use the tools and also do something that, you know, may have a lot of relevance to you as you're perhaps maybe going to be paying your bills for the first time and figuring out how difficult that can be. But all kinds of different tools, like how to make a resume effectively, you know, how to make sure that that's speaking to people the way you want it to, is a lesson in Applied Digital Skills. So it's great for teachers and for students, and it's great for teachers and students together. So if I were, I taught seniors for quite a few years, and if I were a senior teacher right now, I would be having my students make a resume right now, because this is your last period of time with them. It has so much relevance to their life after school. I think most kids need to have that, and they need another set of eyes on it. But I would sign my kids into Applied Digital Skills and get them working through that module. Then I don't have to lecture. I don't have to make the study materials. I don't have to make the videos. I can be that guide on the side that my students need to look at their content without having to worry about the technology portion of it. And that's why it's so great. It really works well. All of the lessons work for students 7 through 12. And there are a lot of lessons that you can pull for younger grades too. Like for example, third graders can definitely do the Choose Your Own Adventure story with slides. And it's a great thinking activity because what you're doing is linking slides together in a strategic way so that your friends or your readers can use your story to choose their own outcomes. And it's a brilliant use of slides where students will be learning about technology, but they're also doing some important thinking and story structure.
I love how you brought it right back to slides.
Yeah, I can't help it.
Always get back to slides.
Yes, it does.
I agree with that. So, did you have a question?
No.
No? Okay. So, let's talk about educators who may not have dipped their toe in the waters of Google at all. Do you have a recommendation on where they might start?
Yes, and that answer has gotten more complicated since Classroom came out. But I think I'm still going to have to go with Chrome first. And the reason why is because Chrome is the platform that we use Google through, whether we're on a Chromebook or on a computer. And if I understand how Chrome works and I start to understand how I always talk to teachers about, you know, there's a happy cloud that goes with you everywhere you go. It's your Google Cloud. And every time you sign in, you're allowing, if you hit yes to sync, then you're allowing all that data to sync back and forth between what you're doing and your happy cloud. when you walk away, I need to learn how to cut the ties between what I've done in that cloud so that it's gone off that local computer if it's not my computer, but also installing extensions, understanding the difference between logging into Chrome and logging into a Google account. All of these are things that can really hold you back later if you don't have that foundation. My other alternative answer to that, that would be hard to pick on multiple choice, would be, do we start first with Drive or do we start first with Chrome? And that's always a hard one for me. But I think if I'm going to have more than an hour with someone, I want to start with Chrome and then move to Drive.
Okay, that was a really good response. Because we've struggled with exactly what you're saying in our own school district, with getting people to really understand the difference between logging into Chrome and to Google. So I appreciate that response. That's going to change.
I like the happy cloud.
The happy cloud. Yeah. Of course he does.
I think I'm going to use that. Daryl's the happy cloud.
Daryl's the happy cloud.
It's the happy cloud. And then, you know, what happens if you use that and you tell people that before they log into Chrome, they don't ask you if they should hit yes to sync.
Right.
Because they remember, especially if you do this, Daryl, you got to do this part.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you're demonstrating, yes, demonstrating the data going back and forth to the happy cloud. So then when they know that, every time they hit sync, they're like, yeah, with their glasses on, and it all makes sense.
That's perfect. We have just a couple minutes left, maybe 1 minute. I think Adam was 2 minutes. Okay. So tell us some people that you follow. They can be Google gurus like you. They can be anyone else in education that you could recommend for the viewers and listeners.
I don't think my answers would probably surprise anyone except for one. One really important person for me to follow are actually teachers who are working with students in the classroom. And I think that those folks are the most important for me personally, because I do have a lot of knowledge about the technology and how the technology works. But what's important for me to stay on top of and to understand is what's really happening on a daily basis in the classroom. So, and most of the time, honestly, this comes face to face. It's not even happening via social media, although I do love social media. But talking to teachers about the struggles that they have in the classroom are the most important thing that I do. Because if I understand what struggles teachers are trying to solve in their classroom every day, I can be a much better professional development provider. The number one struggle teachers tell me about is classroom management. And that's why one of the first courses that we make when Alicia joins our staff is going to be managing the classroom today with devices, because it's the number one thing teachers struggle with.
Oh man, we're gonna sign up for that one and encourage our teachers in our district to do that as well. I think that's—
I'm hoping.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, well, we thank you so much for taking the time today
thank
to join
you.
Us. And
thank you
we'll continue to follow you and keep up with you. And how can someone get a hold of you or follow you on social media?
The best thing to do is to go to our website at fried.tech. You can just type in fried.tech and hit enter and you'll get there and you'll get all of our social media channels. If you want to connect with me directly on Twitter, my Twitter name is friedtechamy, and you can get me directly there. So I'd love to hear from you. And if you're a teacher, I'd love to know, you know, what you're working on and what you're struggling with. So, you know, tweet me so that I can follow you and we can stay in touch.
Awesome. Love well, that. Thanks so much, Amy. We'll have Amy's information on our website, flippinggoodtech.com. And you can reach out to Amy at Fried Tech Amy. And that's the end of season one, episode four.
Look at that.
Yeah. So we'll see you next time on the
Flippin' Good Side of Tech.
Ah! Flippin' Good Side of Tech.